The following audio devotional is an excerpt from Chuck Jones' teaching on Esther that he presented during the He Reigns, God at Work in Perilous Times conference held in Selma, Alabama, March 16th through the 18th of 2022.
Tonight I'm just going to give you this little brief overview, kind of set the stage. Most of you have read it, so I'm going to mention some things. I'm kind of like going to do the end, and then tomorrow we're going to start filling in some of the dots. So let me just read this little thing. This isn't for me. It's been doctored up, so it's a little bit for me. But God's sovereignty and divine providence is what we see demonstrated in the book of Esther. The crisis about which this book is written is sovereignly anticipated and then sovereignly overruled just at crucial moments. And there's no denying when you read it. You'll see it this week. Don't be afraid of that truth. There seems to be no miraculous intervention resorted to in the book of Esther. All the happenings recorded seem to be the simple outworking of circumstances in their natural sequences. Yet while there appears to be no miracle recorded, the whole thing and its ultimate meaning is a mighty miracle. The whole book's a miracle. It's one of the most miraculous storylines in the whole Bible. The mighty miracle of the book of Esther is that a sovereign God can so manipulate all non-miraculous events as to bring about a predetermined outcome. This is all the more miraculous just because it achieves the predetermined outcome without the need for using what we would call signs and wonders. Truly, this mysterious reality, which we call providence, the sovereign manipulation of all ordinary, non-miraculous doings, which make up the ordinary ongoing of human affairs, just to bring about by natural processes those results which are divinely predetermined, is the mightiest miracle of all. This is the book of Esther. In other words, there are decisions being made by people I don't know, people who don't mean goodwill towards me, people out there, that's on a personal level, all kinds of stuff going on, circumstances, situations, that God works for good in my life to accelerate and advance my life into his destiny for me and the purposes he's called me to participate in impacting the world. Don't judge God's sovereignty in little pieces. It is a grand mosaic and must be seen as a whole. So the verse, you know, so let's ask some questions. You don't have to answer, because we may have 70,000 different answers to this. Does God cause all things? No. Does God allow all things? See, people will say, well, God allows things. And yet, if you say that God allows things, that means that God can't be good. Because if he allows things that he could stop, but he doesn't stop them, then how could he be good? Now, let me just say this to you. Regardless of where you're at theologically, if you're not willing to live with mystery, you're in trouble. Because you do not have the answers to everything. Does God cause all things? No. Does God allow all things? Well, let's just think of it this way. And I'm not arguing for that or not arguing. I'm just saying, it's kind of like people asking me, you know, like, if I wear a crucifix, and they go, how can you wear a crucifix? Jesus isn't dead. And I go, do you have a child, a baby in a manger during Christmas at your house? Oh, yeah. So, well, he's not a baby anymore. We do these things that we'd like to chase our tails and stuff. So can God do anything? That one I can answer. Can God do anything other than sin? Can God do anything? So if he could do anything, but he lets things happen, does that make him not good? He said, well, yeah, but God said in this principle, this is an ironclad principle that man has his part, and we're going to talk about our part. We've already said that. We're going to talk about our part. But it's not going to make anything make sense because they don't all fit. It's just true. God has a part. We have a part. But you say, well, you know, he set in this principle that he won't intervene. He's left it up to us. Well, let me just ask this question. Could God, if he wanted to, undo that principle? I mean, if he's the one who thought it up, he's God. Who's going to tell him he's wrong, right? Who's going to be his counselors? Could God undo that principle and do that and then stop it from happening? The question is, could God do that if he wanted to? Could God do anything other than sin? He can. And if he doesn't, then does that make him bad? And eventually, you're going to keep going back to the place where you're not going to have an answer. I don't have any answers. I just know he's big and he's good. And there are mysteries I have to live with. But let's just say, if it'll make you comfortable to say, well, God doesn't cause anything, God calls everything, I'm with you. And you say, but I don't feel comfortable saying God allows everything. Okay, well, then we'll just say it this way. God works everything. For God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purposes. He didn't cause it, didn't allow it, but he's working. He's working it towards a thing. He's depositing good stuff in there because he's a good God. What about this verse? And there's a bunch of them. There's hundreds and hundreds of verses. But so I'm kind of, why am I doing this? So you get comfortable with the fact that I don't know the answers. I think I've told many times around here, I ask the Lord forever, you know, if how does God's sovereignty and God's free will work? Man's free will work. And forever, God wouldn't answer me for years. And finally, one day, I kept pressing. You know, you don't want to keep asking for meat when God's given you manna, because eventually. So I just said, I asked him again. I really heard my heart. God said, you don't want to know. I said, I want to know. I'm a teacher. I want to explain. He said, you don't want to know. I said, I want to know. He said, okay, here's how it works. What you do determines what I've already done. I thought, you're right. I don't want to know that. Because that's true. But how can they both be true? They're contradictory. I don't know. So I'm telling you, I don't know. I just know that the scripture declares both with great passion. Ephesians 1, 10, 11. Let's start in verse 9. He made known the mystery of his will according to his kind intentions, which he purposed in Christ, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of time, that is, to the summing up of all things in Christ. Wow, we're headed towards everything summing up, being summed up in Christ. Things in heaven, things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. What? This God who's full of kind intentions works all things according to the counsel of his will? He didn't say some things. He said he works all things according after the counsel of his will. So does he cause things? No, everything? No. Does he allow things? Okay, we can throw that one out if you want to, if it makes you feel better. I can just tell you he's working things. He's causing all things to work together for good. He's working all things after the counsel of his will, this God of good intentions, kind intentions. Or we can say, okay, but one of the things we like to say too, Jesus is perfect theology. Do you believe that? I believe that. That Jesus, the life he lived, revealed the will of God. Jesus is perfect theology. Okay? This is Matthew 26, verse 1 and 2. And it came about that when Jesus had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming and the Son of Man is to be delivered up for crucifixion. So So he was delivered up for crucifixion. He said, Jesus says this, the Son of Man is to be delivered up for crucifixion. So who delivered him up? Well, the bad Romans and the bad Jews who got the bad Romans to do it. That's true. One of the worst things we can do is called eisegesis. Anna knows what eisegesis means. Eisegesis means I try to make the scripture say what I need it to say. Exegesis means I'm going to let the scripture speak for itself. But that's difficult because sometimes the scripture says something and you go, whoops, what? Verse 22 of Acts 2, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man delivered up, wait a minute, because he just said that, right? He was going to be delivered up for crucifixion. This man delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. Oops. You nailed to a cross, Jews, by the hands of godless men who put him to death. Who delivered him up? The predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. Foreknowledge just means, the word foreknowledge is the word we get prognosis from. The prognosis. And in chapter 4, it says this. This is again in the upper room when the Holy Spirit fell again. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you did anoint. There gathered together both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand, O God, and your purpose predestined to occur. Wow. Did those guys do wrong things? Did God cause them to do the wrong things? So this is where, to me, that God's so big. Did God cause them to do that? No. Did God have foreknowledge that they were going to do that? Yes. And is God so brilliant, and I can't understand brilliance at that level, that he, in foreknowledge, can cause what people do to work according to after the counsel of his will, for his predetermined plan to be accelerated in advance? Yes. That's just true. The scripture screams it. And that's just a few verses. So if Jesus is perfect theology, that must be good theology. You can't pick out what parts of the Bible and the Gospels and say, well, that's perfect theology because Jesus modeled it. Well, then this has to be part of that theology. Now, you telling me, Bishop, that God causes people to be sick? I didn't say God causes all things. Are you telling me that he allowed it? I didn't say that. See, here's the deal. Jesus said he was the truth. He didn't say he was a truth. He said he was the truth. God doesn't cause all things. We won't even use the word God allows all things. That makes us feel better. But if you can't see Jesus standing in the midst of everything, then you'll never know the truth about anything because he's there working. He doesn't think linearly like we do. Oops, I got caught off guard. This is happening, so let me scramble. He's big and he's brilliant and he's so good. Why do I know he's good? Because he's depositing good into everything that the enemy causes. You say, well, Bishop, what do you see then Jesus doing in the midst of somebody being sick or what Robin's going through, was going through? I would say, I see the truth, Jesus saying, this is an opportunity for me to demonstrate my power to heal. But at the same time, I can see Jesus standing in the midst of it. He didn't cause it. We won't even use the word allowed it. But he's also in the midst of doing something in them that has eternal value. Well, did he want them to have that so he could do that? No, I'm just saying he doesn't waste anything. He's in the midst of things, working things. Okay?
This concludes this excerpt from the He Reigns Conference. If you'd like to listen to the full conference, it can be found on asinwars.org under Teachings from Schools and Conferences Held in Selma.